Hello, this is Nisha here. So this is a podcast on St. Patrick's Day, being Irish. The only good thing that can be said about this year is that when you get to the 31st of March, all of the parts that don't resonate for me will be over. So St. Bridget's Day, which is like, I feel like it's like trying to take us back to the Stone Age of women. St. Patrick's Day, Lent, and Good Friday and Easter. All of the suffering will actually be over by the 31st of March, which is quite promising. So I played safe. There was a piece of writing I did a year ago, and I'll talk about why I did it, and I'm going to try and read it. But I decided not to share it on my Patreon in the run-up to everything. And then I sat in a space on St. Patrick's Day and someone was talking about someone being Irish in an American context. That raised a lot in me again. Because when, to put it very bluntly, when Americans speak about being Irish and when Irish people, my Ireland, speak about being Irish, they are not the same thing. And so around this time last year, I was sitting in the same office I'm sitting in now, my home. And I think it was either 4 or 6 SWAT team helicopters flew right over the roof of the house. It was completely overpowering. That sense of military presence is not here. It felt really disconcerting. It was to the backdrop of seeing images in the north of Ireland that I've not seen for 25 years. You know, they're kind of reaction to everything at the moment. Cars burning out in the streets. Troubles we haven't seen for 25 years. We've worked so hard to not see those images, that those communities up there, I don't think you can even begin to fathom the work they have done to live beside each other and to find peace and to not promote that kind of thuggery. And then whenever an American president comes to Ireland, it's a bit of a pantomime, it's a bit of a circus. Again, I can't describe what it's like in the city. Having experienced it years ago, where I was doing A-levels in the city, I kind of vowed that I would never be in the city again for a presidential experience. Like, again, having SWAT teams on the roof, having people soldering up manholes, having cars go past you with no windows in them with all these guns pointing at you. Like, these are not normal feelings on the streets of Dublin. It just doesn't feel nice. And every time they do this tour and they go on about being Irish and they go on about their Irish heritage and their photograph drinking their pint of Guinness and promoting that drink culture rather than our social culture. People went to the pubs to talk, to listen to music, to play music together, to have music sessions. It's a focal point of the community. It wasn't just about the black stuff. And like, it's moved on a long way. Like, we have such a food culture here now. People go to the pubs to eat. And so I wrote this piece. We're related to you. Are you? Why did you leave our green, peaceful lands? To make it big. To escape the conditions, the smallness of thinking. We're related to you, our ancestors, you know. Are you? Your oversized self, gun slung on the hip. Do you even know how different we are here? Do you know our pride, our joy at the new tribe? They're Irish, you know, black as can be, winning for Ireland, you see. Why did your ancestors leave? Did they lack patience to stay and integrate change? Change that can't be culled in a season. Difference between proud oak trees and those spindly ones for everyday use. We're related to you. We're coming to find our ancestors, you see. Are you good enough to spit on our soil? Are you progressive enough in thoughts? Have you let the church stop holding you so? Can you be open to all? Or just use who you think your ancestors are. Do you know how much has changed since they bailed out to find their own way, make it big, come back and sling it around as your oversized you? Do you see us travel the globe, the ones who call this home? Humanitarian work, looking in the eyes of all. Do you feel the connection to the soil? Who are you? Like, I have ancestors who left. I have a great granduncle who left. He went to the States. As far as I know, he ends up in Brooklyn. He was a used car salesman. There's nothing wrong with that. But you think when he came back, the Pope was returning to Ireland. I can't remember what he gave my parents for their wedding present. But I have a lot more time for my great-grandmother, who stayed. They left the same small cottage in rural Ireland with no running water, no electricity. And she went off to London. She became this really stylish woman. I don't know how, I don't know her story. She worked in a hat shop. And so I have photographs of her in 1930s. Incredibly stylish. And she stayed and she opened shops. She was one of those women who, before De Valera bowed out to the church, she was one of those women who was in business in Ireland. I have a lot more time for her. And that's what I realized. Like, it's so striking to me every Patrick's Day when we go to the White House. And this year, the person who went to the White House, I went to school with him. We went to a Protestant school. Neither of us are Protestant. His background is Indian. And the Catholic leaders are rolled out to meet us. Because that's what being Irish in America is. But the people who stayed, we stayed to integrate change. To allow everything to live side by side. To integrate marriage equality. Repeal the 8th. These are huge. Divorce. It's been massive for our society. So much has happened in my living time here as a society. And we've integrated it all. It's real. It's not going back. It's not propaganda. It's properly integrated. And what I realized last year, like what kind of enraged me, is that everybody that ever left Ireland either left to make it big, to line their own pockets and their own possibilities. They left because they didn't have the patience or what it took to live as themselves here. They left because of the famine. So many of the people who come back here and go on about their roots, it'll be 180 years since the famine next year. Is the country that you left Ireland for, does it even bear any resemblance to what it was like 180 years ago? And they left because they were thugs involved in the rising and the civil war. There's always people who will use a revolution as an excuse. And they didn't want to be accountable for their sins. And many of those people left, in particular for Chicago. And so when I read the writing of Alice Walker and she talks about Irish American police officers and their brutality, I know what they're related to. I know what they left. And so when Americans talk about being Irish, it's not my Ireland. I was having this conversation with somebody only yesterday. Like, the way they were portrayed in films. And they were working Paddy's Day, and like, people couldn't get over the fact that people weren't in the pubs at 8 a.m. Like, do we actually have drink laws here? We've done so much as a society to move away from that and to move away from the impacts of alcoholism in families here. And it's by no means perfect. But in most communities, on most demographics, we've moved away from that. And so it is a very poor reflection on our society that we haven't reached everyone there. But I haven't given up hope. And I know in many ways that there are more opportunities here now. Like, we do have more access to education for people who are not born into wealth. And as, you know, one of the top universities commented, like, it's a poor reflection on our society that we have to have special programs and special cohorts to support those people. But we still have those. We still have those opportunities. Those opportunities don't exist across the water from us. And so for them to do the sort of political propaganda that they do on Ireland as they're sort of falling apart as a society. And so, like, I'm tired of Irish people being expected to meet what another nation's Irishness is for a political agenda and for votes, and thinking that that represents my home. It doesn't represent what our culture is celebrating, the pride that we're celebrating in all the places we are in the world. And there's a bigger and bigger chasm forming. It's like, you really don't know who Ireland is. And until you've figured it out, I think it's time for you to stop using it as a propaganda machine and telling us that you're related to us. And I'll finish up by saying that I'm not sure that America has any part in a conversation in terms of the peace of Ireland now, given the behaviour in Gaza. You can't pick and choose who should and shouldn't be oppressed. And you can't pick and choose the long-term impacts of that on a culture.